I was speaking with Kenton a couple weeks ago about how God exists outside of time, that we do not. It's like when you're playing Monopoly, you pick a piece and you move forward, you can't go backwards, and there's good things and bad things, and hopefully you collect some cash and some property along the way, but God exists outside of the board game, looking down at it, so he has all the time in the world to look at everything, but we're in it. So in other words, I'm going to get right to the point here, right to the message. Moses, at the ripe old age of 80, which, by the way, says that you're never too old to be used by God, because the Bible says that he was 80 and his brother was 83 when they went before Pharaoh. So at the ripe age of 80, him and his brother stood before Pharaoh and said, we've spoken to the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, and he has told us to tell you to let my people go. And the Pharaoh, in a pretty common answer, said, who is the Lord that I should listen to him? He said, I don't know the Lord, and I'm not going to let your people go. And that's a question that we encounter when we try to tell people about the love of God, who he is to us. People say, I don't know the Lord. Who is the Lord? So that's, and it's interesting because the Israelites had been in Egypt for 430 years, the Bible says. They had been outside of the walls of what the Bible calls the town of Ramses, and just because of the famine that had happened way back in the days of Joseph under his dad, who was Jacob, or no, yeah, Israel, yeah. So the tribes of Israel, there was a famine. They had moved to Egypt, sent Joseph ahead, the Lord did. But then they stayed there. Even though the famine was over, the people stayed in Egypt for 430 years, and the Pharaoh still didn't know who the God of these people were. They outnumbered them so greatly that the Egyptians were slaughtering the male children to keep the population under control, which was the story of Moses, how Moses, you know, they gave birth to him in secret, and he was adopted by Pharaoh's daughter. And so 430 years, and Pharaoh didn't know who the Lord of the Israelites were. So who is the Lord? And that's the question that I've been thinking about for this speech, about if I wanted to hire somebody, I would look at their resume. You know, there are classes and books in the library, whole sections in the library devoted to resume building. You have sections on the resume about your personal information, your skills, your abilities, your awards, things that you've achieved in your life. And we fill those out, and there's a certain way of beefing that up because we're afraid we're not going to get the job. We're afraid that people will look at us and find us inadequate, or we have these insecurities. So instead of saying that you were a part of a team, you might say that you oversaw the team. You know, you kind of build it up, build yourself up a little bit. You know, maybe I worked there a few extra months. But the thing is God's not afraid. He's not afraid of not getting the job. God's not insecure that you aren't going to pick him. So he doesn't have to lie. In fact, the Bible says that God is incapable of lying. So we know that if God has a resume and there's something on that resume, we can trust it because it says that he's not the God of confusion. There's no darkness in him. So the Bible is basically his resume. And this whole thing stands on the point that you have to first just believe that the Bible is the Bible, that it's the inspired word of God, that it was breathed by the Holy Spirit into men to write. And yes, there's different translations, and you can, you know, nitpick and have them open and all this. But he says, if you seek me with everything in you, with everything at your disposal, you will find me. So look through your translations, look through notes and stuff like that. But the fact is, look for him and look at his resume. And once you build that foundation that is the truth, that there's no lie in it, you can start to go from there. So just assuming that, because if you don't believe that, then nothing I say is going to matter. If you don't believe that God is infallible, that God can't lie, then I can talk all day and it doesn't matter. So what does he say about himself? Looking through the Bible, imagining that, you know, David says he's the Lord of my life. So if God told people to write that, then that's basically God saying things about himself. So when we look at, say, well, he's got so many things, I have to kind of limit it here, because like I said, I'm trapped inside of this thing of time. God says, I am holy. He says, I am a consuming fire. He says so many things about himself. But the thing that kind of narrowed down to, as I was studying this, was 1 John 4:8 that says, God is love. So being a guy that didn't understand math very well, but I appreciate it, science, math, like that stuff, I appreciate it, and I study hard to understand it. One of the things that stood out was the math of the Bible. Well, when you talk to mathematicians, the guys that actually make a living, a very meager living off of math, off of numbers, they'll tell you that numbers are not infinite. Like there's a point, like 2 + 2 = 4, and it will always be 4. But there's a point when you get up into just astronomical numbers that numbers fail. But God doesn't fail. So the equation that popped into my head was, you know, you have A equals B and B equals C, therefore A has to equal C. So if it says God is love, and some of you may have heard stuff like this before, if God is love, then you can find the word love and replace it with the word God. So like 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4, love is patient. You can say, okay, well then God is patient. But it tells us that God is patient. You can say that that's true because it backs it up saying that he is patient, that no one is lost. He's patient. He waits for us and waits for us and through time. So then you say, okay, well, love is kind. Well, that says God is kind. And the Bible tells us God is kind to the wicked and to the just. He lets rain fall on the wicked farmer and the good farmer. And I know from having a business that God blessed my competition. You know, these people who were in the same business I was, they were getting customers, and that's God blessing them. And I wanted that money, but they needed blessings too. So, and you can go down the list of 1 Corinthians and just see all these things about, love is patient, he waits, it's kind. It says it's not envious. God is not envious, and then you have to know the difference between jealousy and envious. It says he is jealous for you. He wants to spend time with you, but he's not envious. There's nothing you have that he doesn't want you to have. In fact, it says he wants you to prosper as your soul prospers. He wants to bless you and give you things, not see you ruin. He says, I have good plans for you. So you go through that list, and then you just kind of replace that word, and you say, okay, well, what do we have here? And his personality, his personal information on his resume starts coming out of who he is, who his character is. And you go down to the bottom, and it says, love never fails. So you say, God never fails. He never fails. But then it's like love is such a, in fact, if you go through the older translation, sometimes you'll see the word charity instead of the word love. And they chose that because they were more visual in their translations than we are. We have a very Roman English definition of words. But the word charity, if you think of Charity Newsies or you think of Salvation Army, charity is giving. It's a I have something that means something to me, time, money, resource, but I'm going to give it to you because you need it more than I do, and I may suffer loss as a result of it. You think charity, it's a giving love. It's a sacrificial giving love. So when you say the word love, don't just think of a Valentine heart card you see on the Kroger shelf. Think about the fact that since the foundation of the world, since before the world began, God is love. Love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, love created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, a sacrificial, giving, all-encompassing love made the heavens and the earth. And before even he did all that, he knew you and you and you. He thought about you. He loved you to the point that it says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. He knew he was going to have to step down into a body, suffer a horrible death, so that not only could he love you, bring you, he knit you in your mother's womb. It says that he formed me. Love formed you in your mother's womb and formed her and her. Like you were knit. And if anyone's ever knit you something, they love you. You know what? a skein of yarn costs anywhere from $3 to $10, depending on the, you know, and this is a guy who has to sew for a living. So I'm telling you, like, that if somebody knit you something, the time and the energy, they love you very much. So he formed you in the womb with love so that you could be born, so that he could come into a relationship and love you, so that you could go into his eternal presence and be loved even more forever and ever. So if you're ever sitting there just feeling unloved, you were formed in love by what love is, the actual definition. We think we know, oh, he loves me or she loves me. It's not the same. You know, like, you might take a bullet for your wife. You might, you know, but his love never fails. It says that he made the world, he, knowing full well what was going to happen to him. He'd do it again, step down to climb the hill, Jesus carrying his cross, just like Isaac. You think Isaac went up the hill carrying his wood. Lord, you know, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Jesus climbed the hill carrying his wood, knowing full well that God would provide the lamb. There's something about the fact that everything that we see, that we can touch, was made with love. Every atom, every molecule was formed by a loving hand. Every animal, every star, every planet. But God said that's not enough. In the beginning, this love made everything you see. Everything, it says, was made, and there's nothing that you see that wasn't made by this love that was for you. It was given to give you control of. He put Adam and Eve in the garden and gave them full authority over everything he made. So after all of this, animals and then the sea and the planets and the stars, God said, it's not enough. I've got more love to give. And he made man in his image. Love made something in the image of itself. You are made in the image of love. So if you ever feel like, I can't relate to these people, I can't talk, you are the physical representation of love, crafted and formed to love, basically. He said, I've got more to give. He crafted you. So don't ever feel like that you're not. It's like dropping a stone into the water and you're listening, and where's the bottom of it? Where's the bottom of it? And you never hear it. It just goes deeper. And getting emotional here. Yeah, so you have to, you are being thought of. And it said that you were formed before the foundation of the world. You were thought of. God was thinking of you. As Christ was walking up the hill with the cross on his back, every step, you were on his mind. You weren't even born yet, but he knew you. Love, and Jesus was, if you had to take everything the law was, that was Christ. Christ was the physical embodiment of what Israel should be. If Israel had followed the law completely with love, because it's a heart stance, the whole law was built around love. He said, if you have love, you fulfilled the law. So everything that the Israelites were supposed to be was manifest in the person of Christ. So as he is taking all of this on himself, he's thinking about you. Taking this to the cross, taking your sins to the cross, so that you could have an eternal relationship with the very love that created you, so that you could be complete in him. You're never alone. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. You will never be without love. You will never be without the love of God. If he is love, if he's true, if his word is true, and he is love, and he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, he said, lo, I will be with you even until the end, then no matter how alone you feel, and I'm sorry if, you know, I understand depression and stuff, you are not alone. You are not unloved. And there will never, ever, even no matter how far you stray or where you go, there will never be a point in your life where you are not loved. So that went a little quicker than I anticipated, but Okay. No, I think that's, if anybody else has anything they want to say, I envisioned that taking hours and hours to go through. So, yeah.
Didn't he do great? Yeah, good job. What's that? Oh, yeah, Louis, come up here. Brenda had a good idea. That was a really neat revelation of God's love. Brenda's idea was you should just pray for us.
Lord, what can we say? Lord, we are so grateful. We're so unworthy that, Lord, we bury our face in the floor and we don't know why you love us. Though we search for it with tears, Lord, we don't know what makes us so special, but we receive this love today, Lord. If there's a heart that's minus 1 ounce of what you're able to deliver, Lord, we ask you to fill it to overflowing, that your face shine on us, that the face of love itself, that the very face of the sacrificial giving to the point of loss, Lord, you gave your son that he could take a body. You said, a body you have prepared for me, Lord. We did it to ourselves. We ask you to remedy this, Lord, to sing to those empty places inside of us, Lord, to just wrap your arms around us and remind us that you're here. We receive it, Lord. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to just flood this place with the knowledge and the depth of the love of God and what he has for us, Lord. Help us to learn and to see it in other people, to display it as well, to realize that everyone we encounter, everyone that's ever been born is an immortal being, Lord, crafted in your love. They will never die. No one in this room will ever die, Father God. And help us to not have to exist outside of your love when that happens. Help us to be that love for other people, Lord, that they can say, who is the Lord? Who is the God of the Israelites? Who is this Jesus that I don't know him? Help us, Lord, that we have the answer to give them when that happens. Amen.
Didn't they do a great job? It's really good. All right. You guys want to be done? Yes, no? Yep, great. Very good. All right. Good job, everyone, staying on time. That was perfect, beautiful. Thank you for those that gave testimonies. Louis, great job. Louis told me he's been prepping. We had it on our heart to ask him to speak, and he told me that you've been prepping sermons since you were a younger man, right? Just he'll get a sermon, not necessarily with a place to speak it, but he'd get a sermon and he'd be diligent to write it down. So it shows, Louis. Good job. Thanks for being faithful. All right. If you have giving statements, I've got those. If you would like prayer for any reason, we'll have people up here to pray after service. And I think that's it for today. God bless you all. We'll be here again next week.